following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, you've reached Zach Fromson. I can't get to the phone, but good news. Our Sprint family plan has an open spot, and Mom said I get to invite the newest member. You don't have to move in with us if you join, and you can get separate bills. So if you want to save a bunch of money, just answer these questions. How do you talk to girls? Do you go Dutch on a first date? Actually, these don't really matter because just about anyone can join a Sprint family plan. But could you do me a solid?
Starting a Sprint family plan is easy, and the more people your family adds, the more you save. For a limited time, get the revolutionary new Samsung Galaxy S5 for zero down and a free Tab 3 when you join a family plan. With better call quality, fewer drop calls, and faster speeds on America's newest network, there's never been a better time to switch. Happy connecting from Sprint.
Offer ends 7/10/14. Maximum plan savings of $30 per line. While supplies last, taxes and surcharges excluded. Zero down plus $27.09 a month for 24 months for well-qualified buyers. Total price $649.99 with 0% APR. If you cancel service, remaining balance on phone becomes due. Tab requires 2-year agreement and data plan. Restrictions apply. See store sprint.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all-sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda with you. Glad to have you along as our week rolls along, getting into depth with the NBA and the NHL playoffs, a little more on the national scene. Tim Miles' name continues to be mentioned up there for a couple of openings in college basketball, but one of those at Tennessee was filled today. Would he really leave Missouri? That's up there. With the merry-go-round of what's going on in basketball, interesting story to follow. Dan Hoppen of Husker Online, we're going to have him on to talk baseball, Husker baseball, Big Ten baseball, a little recruiting, but maybe even delve into that, a couple of questions for basketball with Dan. We'll also be talking with Tom Ostebier later on in the program. I think if you've been paying attention, he's a buddy of the programs, has been in radio for a number of years. He's a trackster. He's helping coach at Heartland Lutheran, and of course, he ran the Boston Marathon, and one of the handful of people that we talked to last year when the Boston Marathon bombings went on, and getting reaction from two or three folks that were there from around our listening area. And Tom went back yesterday, ran in the race, and we'll talk to him. He's been very kind with his time to many of the media outlets throughout central Nebraska, but we'll catch him. He's already back in Nebraska, and we will catch him. In fact, he's just getting back to Nebraska, so we'll talk to him a little bit later on in the program today about what went on and what was thankfully a quiet day yesterday with the Boston Marathon, and just some good running, some good weather, and everybody able to get through the day without any problems. So that's what's coming up. Plus, we've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia on the program for you today. It'll be a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. If you have not one in the last 2 months, we open it up for you. And, of course, maybe you've taken care of all that Easter ham and prime rib. Maybe it's time to try something else, get into the fresh smoked brats and everything else that they have got at Troutman's. And a little bit later on in the show, we'll give you a chance to win that $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. Well, it seemed like, was it last year that all Nebraska could do was play in the morning? Well, you're going to get your wish, Husker fans. Seems like now all they're going to do is play in the evening. Nebraska already announced announced three night games. The Fresno State game at 9:30 at night, and then we know the Michigan State and Miami of Florida games are at 7. Well, today the Big Ten Network released its evening telecast, and the Huskers will have two more night games, including, and I think this could almost be our poll question tomorrow, an 8 o'clock home game on Saturday, September the 27th against Illinois. Would you rather have an 11 a.m. home game or an 8 p.m. home game? Now, I know all the media people want the 11 a.m. game because they can get their stories done, they can get their TV produced, they can get their radio shows in, and don't have to worry about deadline. 8 o'clock is impossible. The newspapers basically will have to hold and get that in there and move on. So I know that that's, as we talk and get closer to fall ball, that's what the media will say. But what do the fans think? If you're going to a Husker game, would you rather have an 11 a.m. game or an 8 p.m. game? The other game that will be at night will be at Northwestern. So if you're going out to Chicago, that Saturday night is at 6:30. You know, that's I like that. But for Nebraska fans, so you go to the 6:30 game up in Evanston, 3.5 hours usually minimum just for the game. You're talking 10 o'clock, and then you have to find your way back to Chicago on a Saturday night around midnight is what you're going to be looking at for that, what is it, about a 45-minute to an hour trip, depending on what you want to do by the time you get to where you want to go. So just kind of plan on that. And don't forget the NFL schedule is supposed to be released sometime today. And I say that because Nebraska fans and most fans want to try and match up where an NFL game might be following a Husker road game. Like, will the Bears play at home the day after the Nebraska at Northwestern game? And so many other things that you can look at when Nebraska's on the road. So right now, out of Nebraska's 12 football games next year, and if they make the championship game, that'd be 13, and that would be at night. But right now, just about half of the games are already at night, and that doesn't mean the rest of them won't be, but it probably does. It probably means that there'll be 5 night games. So you've got a 6:30 night game at Northwestern, and that game is on October the 18th, and so they're starting to delve into a few more night games later on in the year in the Big Ten. Still not a whole lot when they get to November. But then you've got that at 6:30. Then you've got the 7 o'clock games at home against Miami and away against Michigan State, an 8 o'clock home game against Illinois, and then a 9:30 Central Time road game at Fresno State. So if you're one of those folks that likes to go out or stay home, depending on what you do, I mean, usually the folks that go out kind of go out for all of them. The folks that stay home, they like to do the house parties for all of them. You can really get a theme going here this year, folks. 5 different night games, and that Illinois game is homecoming as well. That ought to be special for the fraternity, sorority, and homecoming festivities for an 8 o'clock kickoff where halftime would be about 9:30 at night. That ought to be special. But it's Husker night games. What do you think? Email me, tweet me, give us a buzz. What do you like, the 11 a.m. or the 8 p.m.? I like my games between 2:30 and 6. You know, that's what I like, 1:30 and 6. You can give me that as well. Back in the day, it was 1:30 all the time. So what do you like? Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. That's at ESPN 1460 1550. The Dent Popper inbox, as always. You can email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Or you can give us a buzz on the fan line at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. What do you like, Nebraska? Home games? Would you rather have them 11 a.m. or 8 p.m.? There's some other Big Ten primetime games. Let's go with Penn State at Rutgers, Cincinnati at Ohio State. And that's why Nebraska's game that night, by the way, is at 8 o'clock, because the Cincinnati at Ohio State game will be at 5. I'm sorry. What the hell are they thinking? I mean, you're going to join the Illinois-Nebraska game in the second quarter. Cincinnati, you can't have a three-hour window. I just noticed that. You can't have a three-hour window. Who schedules this? Have you ever seen a football game that's only been 3 hours in college? Anybody? Anybody? At the Division I level? Anybody? No. No. What are they doing? I don't know what they're doing over there at the Big Ten? I mean, Cincinnati at Ohio State, play the damn game at 4. Who cares? 4, 5? You know, if you're going to stick another game at 8, I guess Nebraska could have been playing at 9, but at least you know that you're going to get it on TV, so you better plan on going to the Illinois game because you have to get on one of... Of course, the Big Ten Network has about a billion channels, so maybe that's not such a big deal. So there we go. Let's go with the Dent Popper inbox. John said, come on, we complained last year about the 11 a.m. games, and I was right there with you. It's always better to have night games. Always, says John in Kearney. Trent says, football was meant to be played under the lights. The more games, the better. The atmosphere is always better at night. Sean Callahan says there's a good possibility the Florida-Atlantic game will be at night as well. Well, that's the season opener. That's kind of become traditional. That'll probably be a 6 o'clock. Well, anywhere, 5, 6, 7. Last year we had the Southern Miss game at 5. Could be 7. Yeah, because everything has to be televised now. I agree. I guess I'd rather have an 8 o'clock game than an 11 a.m. game. And I don't know. I think it just kind of depends on who you are. I mean, I think if you have season tickets in the West Stadium and you've had them for 40 years, you probably don't mind getting up and going and being at the 11 a.m. game, and there's not as much. But if you're a tailgater, if you maybe even have to work on Saturday mornings, I mean, that's golden. If you have to work till noon on a Saturday, like a lot of people have to do, I mean, there you go. Even if you got a fall... I mean, especially I'm thinking volleyball, a lot of volleyball invitationals. Maybe parents can go see their kids play and still make a Husker game that's at 8 o'clock that night. So there are some benefits to a late, late game. And I guess if you want a party, you want them late. If you don't, you want them early. I think that's what it all comes down to. Give us your thoughts. 888-455-ESPN. You can email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, you can always Facebook us. ESPN Superstation, and a Twitter address one more time, at ESPN 1460 1550. Well, now they're pushing back the release of the NFL schedule. What's going on, Jeffrey? I thought this was a scheduled NFL Network deal.
Yeah, I just read the article. It appears that they want to avoid any possible NHL, NBA game-type elimination games, which makes no sense because you would want to release it sooner than...
Yeah, tonight. There's no elimination games tonight, and there might be tomorrow because, well, I don't even know. Did they all go 2-1? There might be a 1-3-0 series in the NHL. So, and who cares? You're the National Football League. You're the NFL. Yeah, they're just saying that to say that. Why the hell didn't they do it tonight? There's no elimination games tonight. Ding-dongs. Or should have done it last week. I mean, it's done, right? Yeah, it's done. The schedule's done. Big deal. All right, there you go. So that's our start of the program today. Again, would you rather have Nebraska play 11 a.m. games or those 8 or 9 o'clock games? What's the story for you? What else did we have here? I thought there was one other thing I wanted to throw out there. Maybe not. So coming up, we'll be talking with Dan Hoppen of HuskerOnline.com. Tom Osterbier ran in the Boston Marathon yesterday. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. It's all coming up here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, home of the Midway Certified Program, a year of oil changes, 6-month, 6,000-mile warranty on any new or certified pre-owned vehicle, and a 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty as well. And, of course, as always, as they have done for years, the everyday low, hassle-free prices on over 500 vehicles that are currently on the lot. You can see them in person, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or you can find out a whole lot more just on your own by going to their website at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. Dan Hoppen, Husker Online. Talk everything Huskers when we come back.
Life doesn't stop when you've got a big event like graduation. It just makes you busier. Copycat Printing in Kearney understands. Their talented design staff will create a unique, one-of-a-kind invite just for you. They'll design it, create it, and deliver your invitations. So relax. Copycat Printing in Kearney will make your invitation a priority, so you don't have to. Visit KearneyCopycat.com and like Copycat Printing on Facebook for great printing discounts.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
And now, another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. Recently, a man told us he'd finally learned to deal with his anthropophobia, an overwhelming fear of other people. How? He went to Golfsmith and got the Nike VRS Covert 2.0 driver with its high-speed cavity-back design. Now he hits the ball so far, he doesn't have to be around anyone on the course. You don't need a psychological disorder to get the Nike VRS Covert 2.0 driver. You just need to go to Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just create happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on, North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Prescription drug overdose has surpassed car accidents as the leading cause of accidental death in the U.S., and the majority of people who abuse prescriptions get them from friends or relatives. Buffalo County Sheriff's Office, Elks Lodge 984, Good Samaritan Hospital, Positive Pressure, and Two Rivers Public Health Department are holding a prescription drug take-back April 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Good Samaritan Hospital's North Parking Lot at 35th Street and A Avenue. Safely dispose of your unused, unwanted prescriptions April 26th. Visit PositivePressure.org for more info.
Skies will become partly cloudy throughout today. Southeast winds 15 to 25 and highs in the mid-70s. Showers and storms tonight, partly cloudy, breezy southeast winds, and our lows in the middle 50s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Southern Miss looking for a new coach. Tennessee has hired Donnie Tindall. He's only been there 2 years after that. And it's kind of funny because he replaced Larry Eustace. Larry Eustace replaced Tim Miles at Colorado State. And the change just continues to go. So Tindall only been there a couple of years, 56-17, but they ended up in the NIT both of those seasons. High school soccer, yesterday the Central Conference Finals were played at Holdridge, and the Holdridge girls knocked off in the semifinals. So that meant Columbus Lakeview in the finals defeated York by a score of 3-0. In the boys game, it was Schuyler, a 6-1 winner over Grand Island Northwest. Today, it is Kearney at North Platte, Lexington at Kearney Catholic. Columbus will be at Hastings, and Northwest gets a rematch traveling to Schuyler. Grand Island baseball has moved up to number 5 in the state of Nebraska, and the Islanders, coming off the Heartland Athletic Conference Championship, travel to Lincoln today to take on Lincoln Pius X, and that's what's going on as far as a little bit of the area activities. A lot more golf and track coming up later this week. We get now, after this Easter holiday, really into the heart of the season, because right around the corner we're going to have conference districts in state is the weekend of Memorial Day, so we'll keep you up to date on that. Right now, though, let's talk a little Huskers, brought to you by TNL. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology, easier on you for a lifetime. We welcome in Dan Hoppen of HuskerOnline.com. Good morning, Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. There's NBA basketball. What more could you ask for?
Imagine that, talking to Hoppen, and he starts bringing up NBA basketball. Let me start there, though. Let me start there. Are you pro-Miami, anti-Miami? Who's your team?
Well, my team is probably the Phoenix Suns, so they're already eliminated. If I would have had to pick a team to win it all, not based on fandom, but just based on who I thought was going to win before the playoffs started, I would have said Oklahoma City. So probably rooting for them a little bit. But for most, I just like to see great games, and we certainly got one of those last night.
People have had trouble, and again, I have to remember that I'm talking to a youngster here in Dan Hoppen, but obviously growing up with basketball a big part of your life, have you always been a fan of the NBA, and do you like it better than college?
I do, and And I mean, I love college basketball too, don't get me wrong, but there's just something about the NBA where, and I understand that a lot of people don't like it for a number of reasons, but I mean, with the NBA, you're watching, you know, the best, however many, 250 players in the world, 300 players in the world playing basketball. I mean, there's literally no better basketball on the face of the earth. And, you know, as much as people like to say it's too individualistic or, you know, the coaches just roll the ball out there and stuff, I mean, you know, those are fallacies. That's not true. The NBA is, in my opinion, the pinnacle of basketball. And that's not to say anything bad about college basketball, because that's awesome too. But I do love the NBA. I'm not going to lie about that.
Well, let's start with basketball, because I think there's stories. I mean, I wanted to talk a lot of baseball today, but there's a couple stories out there for basketball and football. Tim Miles, whether this is a Nebraska thing or whether this is actual a national thing, because he's been named the National Coach of the Year in at least one occasion this year, do you think he actually is being pursued by some of these openings that are going on right now? And if so, do you think there's any of them out there that would be of interest to him?
Well, I'm sure that he's being pursued. I think, you know, if you're a college basketball team without a coach, you'd be remiss not to at least take a look at Tim Miles. I mean, you just look at the work he's done at Nebraska in just a few years, and the way that he's kind of, you know, tried to turn this program around and done a very good job. I think you'd be making a mistake if you didn't at least take a look into him. As far as whether Tim Miles is interested, I think it's going to take a really attractive job to try and lure him away from Lincoln. You know, probably one of the blue blood programs, you know, like we saw, you know, a program like UCLA open up a year ago. You know, that might be a job or something that might catch his interest. But I don't think, you know, Tennessee, Missouri, I don't think those are real steps. You know, those are jobs that opened up this offseason. I don't think those are real steps up from Nebraska. They might have a little more tradition, but they don't have the facilities. They don't have the momentum that Nebraska does right now. I don't think that's something that's going to lure Tim Miles away. And I do think that, you know, staying here and trying to build a program is important to him. So I think if he ever is going to leave, it's going to take a really, really attractive job. You know, like I mentioned, one of those big-time, you know, tradition-laden programs to come after him. I don't think, you know, one of these programs that is on Nebraska's level, or maybe, you know, a step or two up from Nebraska, is going to get him to leave.
Talking with Dan Hoppen of HuskerOnline.com. Let's move on to football. We have found out here in the last week that I remember last year complaining about the 11 a.m. games, that I just didn't think that's a lot of fun. Now, all of a sudden, five night games for the Husker football team, almost half, and we're not sure. It may be. I kind of anticipate, and Sean had kind of posted out there that he thinks that opener against Florida Atlantic will be at night, and Nebraska's opener for the last however many years has been at night. I said that every time we talk to a journalist, whether it's newspaper, TV, or radio, Dan, they're going to say, yeah, they like the 11 o'clock game because then that way they can get all their work done and don't have to worry about it. Deadline is crucial for especially the newspaper and TV guys at 8. But just from a fan standpoint, 11 a.m., 8 p.m., like this Illinois game, what would you rather have?
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of night games. You know, there's just something cool about playing, you know, under the lights at night. I think that's kind of cool. And for us internet guys, I mean, you know, we don't necessarily have a deadline. We just kind of get on and post, you know, whenever we're done. So for me and the other guys at Husker Online, it's not such a big deal. But I know that the coaches themselves, they love these night games because that gives them an advantage in recruiting. I mean, when you've got an 11 a.m. or even a 2:30 game, it's tough to get these kids, you know, especially if they're, you know, if they're coming from a ways away. They're playing on a Friday night, and then they've got to fly or drive out to Lincoln, and then, you know, got to get in for that 11 a.m. game or that 2:30 game. You know, that's not a lot of time in there to be able to kind of woo them and show them, you know, around the campus, kind of get them familiar with the program and everything. With a night game, it's a lot easier to get those kids in, to kind of show them everything before the game goes on, and then get them out there for the game experience, you know, with a fan base that's totally fired up for a night game. So I think, you know, from a journalist standpoint, I understand with those other guys, you know, maybe they're a little bit, they're not a huge fan of the night games, but I know that Nebraska, you know, as a coaching staff, as a team, they love having night games. It's good for the program. It's good for TV exposure. It's good for recruits. You know, there's really no downside to the program.
Time with Dan Hoppen, Husker Online, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Dan, let's jump into baseball here. On the surface, last Friday, I said as we were talking that Northwestern was playing way too bad and Nebraska not necessarily was playing way too good, but was way too hot. I did not expect, I mean, this just set up perfect for Northwestern to get a game. Now, I didn't think they'd get two and darn near three, but in hindsight, these were 3 one-run games, and Nebraska has won a ton of come-from-behind and one-run games. But then you look what it did do to their RPI. So how concerned should Nebraska fans be with this? I consider it a mini bump on the road because it's athleticism, and yeah, Northwestern isn't very good, but they played their best weekend of the year. How concerned should we be?
I think that you hit on some good points. I think Northwestern did play, you know, one of their better series of the year, but I think Nebraska fans should carry a, you know, a pretty legitimate level of concern here. This really did hurt Nebraska's RPI, and before they were kind of sitting in good position, you know, to at least be in contention for an at-large bid if they didn't win the Big Ten tournament as far as getting to the postseason. And now that's kind of in question. That's still definitely out there if they're able to close out the season strong and they can still get there, you know, if they're able to pile up some wins over these next 4 weeks. But it's definitely a lot more in contention than it was as far as Friday goes. I mean, Northwestern did play a great series this weekend, but this is not a good baseball team, and Nebraska really hurt itself by losing to these guys. I mean, you look at the runs scored. I mean, on Friday and then the first game on Saturday, they scored a combined 3 runs against 2 starters who both had an ERA over 5. I understand that those guys both they did pitch well. You know, don't get me wrong, but that's pretty rough to go against that. So I think there is some concern among Husker fans because this team has just not hit well in conference play at all, and that's something that they really need to work on as they get going here in the stretch portion of the conference season.
So, Dan, as you look at this, we were talking last year that had Nebraska just had one more win, had they been 30-29, I believe it was, instead of vice versa, that they probably would have been in the NCAA tournament. Nebraska's record is much better than that, and it's not like Coach Erstad downsized the schedule. What's the one thing we should be pointing at that's different from last year?
Well, I think the schedule is a little bit easier as far as the non-conference goes than it was last year, and during the conference portion of the season, they didn't play Indiana, which they did last year, which helped out the RPI quite a bit. I think when you look at Nebraska's resumes, you see a lot of impressive wins, but then you see, you know, losses against Northwestern, losses against Iowa, Northern Colorado, the Citadel. You see a lot of really good wins, and then you see, you know, a lot of bad losses that kind of cancel out some of those good wins. So, you know, it's tough to say. I do think that, you know, like I said, if Nebraska finishes the season out strong, I still think that they'll be very much in contention and probably in good position to get an at-large bid. But yeah, if they stumble in these next couple of weeks, they're going to be right back in that same position as they were last year because some of these bad losses are really going to come back to bite them.
Last minute here with Dan Hoppen of HuskerOnline.com. So there's 4 series left here for Nebraska baseball. 2 at home, 2 on the road. Big Red, as we know, will go to Michigan. Then it's home against Penn State, at Michigan State, and home against Illinois, who moved into second place in the conference this week. What give the fans something to shoot for here. There's 12 games. I'm not counting Creighton and UNO because if you can't beat Omaha, no matter where you play them, you don't deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. So give me the 12. What do they need? 8-4, 7-5, 6-6, or does it just depend who they beat?
Well, I think you probably got to shoot for at least 8-4 if you're hoping for an at-large bid. I think, you know, that you mentioned that last series against Illinois. That's going to be a huge one because that's one that not only, you know, could really help Nebraska's RPI if they're able to win 2 out of 3 or maybe even sweep that series, but that's also going to help their positioning for the Big Ten tournament, which, as we saw last year, Nebraska, you know, if you get hot and you have great starting pitching, which Nebraska does, you've got a shot to win that thing, and that obviously gets you an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So that series is going to be absolutely huge. Not to say that these next 3 aren't, because they're all going to be very big as well, but I think that Illinois one is one that you really have to circle. How Nebraska does in that series, I think, is going to go a long ways in determining whether this team is in the postseason or whether they're watching it from home like they were last year.
And Dan, what about recruiting right now on any of the stages, specifically baseball, with this off time here during midweek? There was some thought that Coach Erstad might make a couple of appearances somewhere. Is there anything to talk about on Nebraska baseball recruiting?
Well, the 2014 class is, you know, pretty much maxed out here. The 2015 class is already off to a pretty good start, so I wouldn't be surprised if the coaches are out, you know, scouting up a couple prospects or something like that, but nothing, you know, real solid to report right now. Sorry to disappoint you, but as far as I know, you know, they're, you know, just kind of trying to get the team rebounded, and you know, I'm sure they're checking out some prospects and stuff, but nothing real solid to report on at this time.
And Dan, from the folks here, obviously in the Tri-Cities, we talked to Taylor Fish a couple of weeks ago, and now he had to catch both ends of a doubleheader, which nobody wants to have happen, but he wants to play, obviously, after Lubach's injury. How bad is Lubach's injury? When do we expect him back? And it sounded like behind Taylor Fish, there really isn't anything. How desperate is the catcher position right now?
That's a great question, because really, you know, even before Tanner Lubach got hurt, catcher was kind of a thin position for Nebraska. For those who didn't see, Tanner Lubach got hurt on Friday night. He was sliding into second base. He was actually, he stole a base successfully, but kind of got his left foot caught. I don't know if it was on the ground or on a base or something like that, but his left leg twisted really awkwardly. He had to be helped off. He was in a walking boot and crutches on Saturday. And Coach Erstad after the game Saturday said that he had an x-ray on his lower left leg. Nothing is broken, but he said that Lubach will be out for a significant amount of time. So he didn't really place any real timetable on it, but, you know, we can be pretty sure that he's not going to be playing at least for the next 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks and beyond. So Taylor Fish is absolutely going to get a big opportunity over these next couple weeks. And because Nebraska doesn't really have any depth behind him, I think, you know, he's going to get the lion's share of the playing time, maybe all of it, and he's done a good job with that so far this year. But Quinn McGill is actually Nebraska's backup catcher at the moment, and he's a true freshman who's never caught a college game. He's an outfielder by trade, so I know Nebraska really isn't, you know, overly excited to get him in there. Coach Erstad mentioned that, you know, he'd try and get him in there if Nebraska gets in some blowout games or something like that, just to get him some experience in case Nebraska might need him. But at the moment, Nebraska is very thin at catcher, so expect Taylor Fish to get the majority of the playing time back there. And he's done a very good job with it so far. He's come up with some clutch hits this year. He's very good at working the count, a very patient hitter. I think he's done a good job, and he's going to get a chance to show what he can do these next couple weeks.
Yeah, he seems to be better in clutch situations than if there's nobody on and nobody out.
He really does. He's had a number of very clutch hits this year, and another one on Saturday with two outs and the man on second. He was able to knock a run in and tie the game. He's been great this year. He really has. In the limited playing time that he's gotten, he's been able to come up with several big hits in tight situations, and like I said, he always works the count. I mean, seriously, watch this guy. He gets in a 2-0 or 2-1 count just about every single time he comes up, just because he's so patient. He's able to watch pitches. He's able to work the pitcher. You know, he's not going to be, you know, a slugger. He's not going to be the greatest hitter in the world, but he's able to do a lot of things to help this team out, and I think he's good working this pitching staff, and you've seen that so far, and I think you're going to see that in the coming weeks.
All right, Dan, hey, we appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show this morning here on ESPN, and enjoy the baseball. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You bet. Dan Hoppen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Husker Online. Yes, Dave Hoppen's son, who works for Husker Online, and a lot of basketball and baseball coverage for the online network. So Taylor Fish will get in there. We are expected to be joined by Coach Darren Erstad tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, whose collegiate win record is hadn't even got 100 yet. 100 hadn't even got there yet. But Damon Day has, you know, he's got 300. I mean, hey, so it took 1,000. Big deal, man. 300 here at UNK. What's going on? Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
I knew you were going to give me a hard time. That's why I was like, do I really work this hard to go get a hard time by Doug? Or, you know, with the schedule change? And then I figured, well, I better make my way up there and at least I can let everybody know the schedule has officially changed to being a Thursday, Friday, Saturday weekend set for this upcoming weekend for the Loper baseball.
Okay, so what do we got? We got six, same thing, 6 o'clock Thursday, doubleheader Friday.
Yes, sir.
Does that start at 3?
3, yep.
And then Saturday at noon?
Saturday at 1.
1, woohoo, get yep. crazy!
Yep, senior day, so we're going to go at 1.
There you go. Last weekend, we'll talk about
last
in just a
moment.
Last
weekend of the regular season is this weekend.
Yeah, last weekend we'll talk about some good baseball by your ball club, and I still have to. Have you? And I said I was going to look at this and scan this. You haven't lost an MIAA series, right?
We lost one.
One right off the get go
to Southwest Baptist.
Okay, right off the get go.
Yep.
You're still only fifth in the league. I find that hard to believe.
It is. It's a meat grinders league. It is a. It is. It is baseball. It is
especially when
two.
You're playing four game series.
Yeah. It is. It is Division II baseball. At its very best.
We'll talk more about the weekend that they had, what's coming up this weekend, plus Tom Osterbier from the Boston Marathon, Grand Island Zone, will join us here in a little bit. We've also got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and we want to know, would you rather play football, Huskers? I guess it doesn't matter where, but we're talking Huskers. Would you rather have an 11 a.m. game or an 8 p.m. game? We'll be back after this.
Johnson Lawn and Landscape.
Go green with Johnson Lawn and Landscape. And blue, orange, red, and yellow too. This is Greg Sharp. As you might expect, I'm partial to the colors of fall. But no matter what season, Johnson staff will match the right designs with the color vision you have for your project, including the design. So if your landscape is not becoming to you, then you should be coming to Johnson's Nursery Center. Now open inside Johnson Lawn and coincidentally next to Yellow Van in South Kearney. On the web at johnsonlandscape.net.
Fantasy baseball's back, and our listeners are winning huge cash at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy sports site. Like Sam, he won $100,000, his first time ever playing. Seriously, DraftKings is one-day fantasy sports, so no season-long commitments, just instant cash payouts. This week, DraftKings has another huge tourney with thousands in cash prizes, and our listeners get free entry. Enter Herd at DraftKings.com. But hurry, free spots are going quick. That's Herd at DraftKings.com.
Hi folks, Terry Bradshaw here. Fan Appreciation Day is every day for my friends over at Ferguson. With Ferguson's Pro Plus program, not only do you get discounts on services that help you manage and promote your company, but you can score points for cool stuff like sports gear, gadgets, trips, and more. Best of all, it's free to enroll, and you get 1,500 points for just signing up. Visit Ferguson.com and get in the game. When completions count, connect with Ferguson.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Skies will become partly cloudy throughout today. Southeast winds 15 to 25 and highs in the mid-70s. Showers and storms tonight, partly cloudy, breezy southeast winds, and our lows in the middle 50s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Doug and Daddy's show. Doug Duda, David Day with you here on this Tuesday. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question today. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Whether you need some cold beverages to enjoy your evening, your afternoon, your time off, your weekend, or you just need to pick up some snacks, fill up with gas, get some provisions for the weekend, you can do it at the Midtown Mart. Does the Nebraska baseball team need to win the Big Ten tournament to qualify for the NCAAs? 83% said yes after this past weekend. I said no yesterday. Jimmy Langan said no, but I guess maybe we were the only votes, 17%. Who should win this year's NBA MVP? I don't even have to ask, Damon Day, because all Jeffrey put up was LeBron James, Kevin Durant, or other.
Other.
Other? Who?
Other.
You got somebody?
No.
I'll give it to Durant. That's fine. Give him the MVP. Give LeBron the ring. That's the way it's going to be. Vote now at ESPN. So it is. ESPNSuperStation.com. Vote now. ESPNSuperStation.com. Our Midtown Mart cooler question.
I have nothing to add about the NBA playoffs.
Okay. All right. I might have wrote some stuff on the back of that. You do have the schedule change for this weekend, but Loper baseball coach Damon Day, let's talk a little bit about UNK from this past weekend. Basically, almost every game was down to the wire. You start it with a 6-5, 10-inning game at the beginning. You end it by rallying from 6-0 down and winning in 13 innings on Saturday because, again, it was pushed up because of the weather. You sweep the doubleheader. You're 3-1. I'd have to think that you've been you have to feel good about where you're at. I mean, even if it's not clean baseball because of the few, and you were laughing when we were talking with Dan Hoppen about all the injuries, well, not all, but I mean, you can relate to the injuries that the Huskers have in being thin at positions. And has anybody come back?
No. Yes, it's no. No one will, we won't get anybody back, and but just extraordinarily just finding ways to win is probably the best way to say it. I mean, like, it's not pretty. At times it's downright mind-boggling how we have found the way to compete and still win ball games. But that's what makes college baseball special. That's what makes this year's team so special, is just their will to find a way. Even though on Sunday, I think we had 3 hits in the first 6 innings. And then we turn around and Max gets a big grand slam hit, and next thing you know, you're kind of feeling sorry for yourself in the top of the 7th when that inning started. You're down 6-0 with limiting opportunities, and then wham, your guys just kind of find a way and do some things. And so just it was a great weekend down at Pitt. You know, their great facilities, great crowd. It was their senior weekend, so there was some big pitches made, and you know, to kind of the electricity or the excitement in the dugout when every pitch is just so important, and our guys understanding how important every pitch is. It's really exciting to see guys execute at such a high level when it matters the most.
Would you say you're getting better pitching than you were at the beginning of the year? And I don't necessarily mean starting. It seems like if you fell down 6-0, you're getting some clutch pitching. It seems like when you guys get in trouble, whoever's in there, even if you've left the starter in or you go to the bullpen, you seem to get some guys in there that really can stop the bleeding for a while and allow the offense a chance to catch up if need be.
Without a doubt, our pitching staff has really got into competitive mode. I mean, every time we've needed a big start, the starter stepped up. Logan Willard, again, we needed a huge start from him in game number 3 to at least, you know, kind of put yourself in a position to win the series on Sunday. And he goes out and just pitches a phenomenal baseball game. I think he was 1 out away from a complete game, and so if it's not him stepping up, it's Mike Holland or Alex Sosa or Adam Peters or our bullpen with Aaron Smith and Joe Schmidt, and it's guys getting timely hits when we need them and finding a way just to do some things. And so, you know, I'm really just – the thing that I'm probably most impressed about with our pitching staff is just pitching around our defense. You know, let's face it, we don't have some defenders where they're supposed to be. We're missing some of our top defenders, and the guys that are in there are playing their butts off. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not the same talent level. But I've been really impressed with how our pitching staff has kind of handled that and has pitched around some miscues that we've made and still been very, very successful for us. But, you know, when you get down to this time of year, it has been a true team effort. You know, there's only 23 guys in our dugout, and we look – I told somebody the other day, if we end up emptying these benches, you boys better. It got chippy down at Pitt State, and it was an intense weekend. And I said, you guys better make sure you take two or three of them on if this goes sideways for us, because we're just outmanned right now when you look across at the other dugout at 40 guys. And there's just 23. I mean, our dugout looks empty. Just because of how it's all worked out. But just extraordinarily proud of our guys. And Max stepping up huge again. He had a game winner versus Washburn, and now he hits a grand slam and, does some things. And so, at the end of the day, it's just finding a way to win. And Anthony Pacheco, they pitch around him. They don't want to throw anything to him, and he's still finding a way to get big knocks for us and do some things. And so just overall, it's a frustrating thing for our guys because they know that, we should be playing better at certain times and we should be doing better, but their competitiveness and just their will to continue to fight is something to behold in Team 54.
You've got a chance now with Missouri Southern coming in to wrap up the regular season. There is a chance to move up. You're in that key spot in the five hole. If you're in the top four, you'll get to host another series to begin the MIAA playoffs. This is not a bracketed format, so to speak. That would become very important. You're trying to catch Missouri Western is set in fourth. Emporia has won 11 in a row right now, and they're in third. They're two games ahead of you, and Missouri Southern's behind you. So you're going to give me some coach speak on how tough this baseball team is, but give us the odds, your chances, playing well. Can you move into that four slot, and what's Missouri Southern bring?
Yeah, we control our own destiny of moving upwards. If we want to go out and move into that four seed or get better than where we're at right now, it's going to take a four-game sweep. It's going to take us winning all four games. And Missouri Western, they're going to bring in statistically the best pitching staff in the MIAA. I think their team ERA is around a 3-1, 3-5. But right now, this time of year, you can pretty much coach speak it for you. Throw stats, throw records out the window. We're excited to be at home. That's something that we're really excited to be at home this final weekend. Make them make the long trip. They're kind of out of the playoff hunt right now. And so we're excited to kind of, that doesn't mean anything when you start to get competitive in certain situations because, Pitt State was out of the playoff hunt, and they sure fought like heck to get after us. And so we're excited to get home, try to get our legs back under us a little bit, solidify that playoff spot, because that's been our goal the whole season is let's just make it to the playoffs and see what we can do from there. And so it's a huge weekend for us to kind of see a culmination of some goals and for us to get to where we need to be and then get ready for that postseason.
It looks like all kinds of things could happen this weekend. Emporia, Missouri Western, yourself, Washburn, even Southwest Baptist, you're all kind of in a mix where you could move up or down a couple of seeds.
Well, Southwest Baptist, no offense to who they're playing or their opponent, but they're already 24 and whatever their loss is.
Lincoln.
Yes. So you kind of got
it. It was 0-32 in the conference, people,
yes.
Just to put it as it is.
So that's going to play a big role on. And so really what you got to do is just worry about staying healthy. That's probably our number one thing. Staying healthy, getting our guys calm, because it's an exciting time. It's, getting them to play with an even keel, which is impossible, and we're not even doing. We are a roller coaster ride right now. It's kind of something you just embrace. the big thing for us is just solidifying that playoff berth this weekend and giving ourselves a chance to whoever our next round opponent is, getting prepared to take them on. But we got to take care of things first, and that's solidify a spot in that tournament.
Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Let's chain gears here for a moment. And heading his way back to the Tri-Cities is Tom Osterbuehr. We talked with him a variety of times, buddy of ours from numerous years covering high school sports. And I think a lot of folks, if you haven't seen Tom on the news, then you haven't been paying attention the last week. He does a lot of the PA, especially at Central Catholic, if you attend any of their games. So, Tom, I know a lot of folks know you. And they're learning a little bit more about you with the way you've been running. So, A, thanks for all the time you've been given to all the media to talk about this experience, especially us here on the Duck and Daddy Show. How are you feeling this morning?
You know what? I feel surprisingly good today. I'm surprised. I I'm not real sore. I'm walking almost normal, but yeah, feel pretty good, and still on cloud nine, I think.
What does a guy do? Because I'm gonna, let's face it, we don't talk to a lot of even professional marathon runners on the Doug and Daddy Show. But what does a guy or gal do the day after a marathon or a couple of days after a marathon to make sure that you're gonna get through the next week?
You know, I take about 3 or 4 days off, and I start back in simple again, easy and running. But I mean, just really not a whole lot. Just rest a little bit, get the muscles back, and try to eat right and get a little bit of rest.
Go ahead.
You know, well, I was going to say, and you know, I was kind of upset because I know you saw that picture of Mav coming down the finish line. They cropped me out of it.
And they lied about his time. I see that too, because you were just a little bit longer than that. But you kept saying last week, Tommy, that you didn't really care about time or you wanted to take in, because you said this last year, you wanted to take in the sights, because you had told me last year that this was supposed to be the last time that you went to the Boston Marathon. It had been a while, and you wanted to go back and run it one more time. And obviously, because of the circumstances, now you wanted to go run it one more time again to see what it was, kind of how it changed, be part of this, be part of the solidarity. But once you got running, did that change? Did you get that adrenaline going to run a good time again as far as you, as your personal goal?
You know, not really. I ran the first 10. It was pretty hot, really, for what we've been training in. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but there was a lot of people went down with cramps, and a lot of people got gurneyed out of the place because it was 65, 66 degrees. And, you know, after training in 20 and 10 and 30-degree weather, it was warm. But I went pretty fast, maybe the first 10 for more than I thought. But you know what? I took time to thank every police officer, every SWAT team member, every Massachusetts state trooper. I tried to say thanks to everyone. I may or may not have stopped off and got a kiss on the cheek at Wellesley. But I tell you, Doug, the best part was from Boston College on, and I took my time. I gave every Boston College student a high five, and it was loud there, and they had a lot of fun. And as I went into downtown, I didn't want it to end, and I stopped and walked and videotaped the crowd for just a little while. And I had a St. Jude Heroes single on. They're going, come on, St. Jude, you can do it. And I go, I know I can do it, but I don't want it to end. It was just, I didn't know what my emotion would be, but it was fun. It was jubilant. It was, and you know what? Seriously, think about those. The crowd was huge. They're the people with courage. You know, I mean, they're standing in the very spots where three lives got taken and, you know, hundreds of people were injured. And that's amazing to me, because so I think the resolve of runners isn't the only thing here. It's the resolve of the Boston people, the American people, and the fact that you can't be terrorized if you don't let people terrorize you.
Tom Ostebier, Grand Island, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, just getting back from yesterday's Boston Marathon. Tom, you said you wanted to run it again, not necessarily to see how it was different, but to be there with all the folks that have run it a number of times. And you said you wanted to take it in. You've told us a couple of the stories there. Outside of security, how much bigger was the crowd for those of us that have really no idea except being told after last year what it's like? What was it like? What was the biggest? What were some of the differences besides the length, the biggest, you know, the crowd and the number of runners?
Well, and see, when I ran this thing in 96, there was actually more runners. It was like 39,000 because it was 100th running. But still, with 36,000 runners, that's huge. And so it just took long. But, you know, the security was different because the way they routed us, the things they allowed us to carry in and not carry in. Actually, we had to leave everything there. We didn't have buses bringing our stuff back to us this year. So, but, you know, people lingered longer, you know, through the night last night. And I think just, like, as I walked down the street, I was amazed at how many Boston people, they thanked us, in which that's uncharacteristic of what you hear about the people in the East. They thanked us for helping them heal. It was like a big happy family. A man came into the restaurant when I was eating and asked if I ran the marathon and asked me where I was from. I told him Nebraska. And he gave me a handshake and a hug and said, man, I can't believe you'd come from Nebraska to support us. And he paid for my dinner. And, you know, so, you know, I can't explain it more than just people were just more open. It wasn't just like, it was almost like a big family reunion.
Could you tell The folks in Boston, just like a lot of different communities, they have a persona. They have a, I don't know if stereotype, you can make fun, I guess, of the way they talk. Could you tell a change from 2 years ago to this year, pre-bombing to what we have now?
Well, yeah, I mean, just the friendliness, the openness of people wanting to know where you're from, wanting to know your stories. And Saturday was probably one of the most difficult days for me. I went back down and actually I wanted to know where I was, and I was closer to 40 yards from the blast. I told people 75 to 100. I got farther away every time I did an interview. That's a little bit sobering. I went to Marathon, the Marathon running store, where that became a MASH unit. I went in and talked to some of those guys in there, but you couldn't hardly get in. There was a waiting line to get in. I talked to two guys that were less than 15 feet from the second bomb, but because where they were sitting and the way the sidewalk narrowed, uninjured, but they told me their story. And I guess you don't think of Bostonians as being open like that, but I listened to more stories and about the week after the marathon, how martial law kind of kicked in. And so, there's a lot of healing and reminiscing. And I asked two of the guys that were right by the bomb, I go, how did you put it behind you? And they said, we just moved on. And they, so it's just, I don't know. It's just a difference that people usually don't care if you're there for the marathon or not. I mean, they go cheer you on and stuff, but it's kind of like, yeah, okay, you're here. This year, they were thankful that we were there.
And Tom Osterbeer, for the last second here on the Doug and Daddy Show, last week when they had the actual one-year anniversary and remembrance of the bombings, you could see what was around the finish line and how they had painted the road and things like that. If there wasn't a memorial or something where those two bombs had went off, as far as I'm guessing there's probably flowers and things like that, can you tell us what that looked like? And could you have even told, if you go next week, could you even tell that had ever happened in Boston?
No, not really at all. They've got all the glass replaced. I mean, stuff is done. In fact, they put the garbage can at the second bomb site back as almost kind of a memorial. And I had to ask two guys, hey, where did this bomb? And they were the two that told me about being 15 feet away. They put it back together. There was four crosses. I don't know if you saw that on television at all, but four crosses symbolizing the three that were killed there and the officer that was killed in the when they actually apprehended. And so, you really couldn't tell it. And just one last thing. When I got off the plane, there was a 79-year-old man. His 75-year-old wife was going to run Boston again this year. He was 15 yards from the first blast. I asked him, I said, where are you going to stand this year, sir? He said, the same place. That's my spot. So I think that said it all for me. When I got off the plane, I realized that there's a lot of people coming back, whether it's spectators, runners, or whatever, with a lot of resolve.
Tommy, will you, because as we said, you're working with some of the Heartland Lutheran track kids. Are they curious? Do you relate? Can you relate some of these stories to track season, to sports season, to life for these youngsters?
You know what? We try to do that. We have a devotion every day before practice, and that's what I try to do is tie these things in with them. I got great kids there. And the Heartland Lutheran kids, I'm hurrying back now. I flew back at 5 o'clock this morning. I don't want to miss practice. And so, yeah, I want to go share with them, and they're curious. They're interested. They don't get why or how anybody would run for 3.5 or 4 hours. But, I think you have to teach them that. And run, I don't care what sport we're doing, Doug. It's about more than winning. And, I think these kids get it. And they're becoming fierce competitors on the track. They're doing a great job this year. They improve daily. But, yeah, that's what I try to do. If you can't teach them life, how it applies, then, I think we're not doing our job.
Well, I know Colin tried to make you run really fast yesterday, but I won't even give the time. You were under 4 hours. I think that's a hell of a job. So thanks for representing the Tri-Cities the way you did out there and the way you do every day. And can't wait to see you again at a local high school event, Tommy.
Well, hey, yeah, I appreciate you giving me the time, Doug, and it's always a pleasure. And as I've always said, you are the legend.
Tommy, take care, buddy. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Take care. Tom Osterbuehr, Grand Island, genuine good guy, ran out in the Boston Marathon again yesterday. I don't know what to compare that to personally, Damon, because I'm not a runner and I can't comprehend. I can comprehend tragedies, but, I don't even want to get into thinking if there was a mishap at a variety of sporting events that maybe we would be a part of.
No, it's when you see the coverage and you hear people say, "Oh, I'm tired of hearing about it," I don't think unless you, it's kind of like 9/11. We're so far from it, but still, we're all Americans type of thing. And I think that this isn't just another event that until you go there, until you see it, until you feel it. I know that I didn't go to New York until 2007, mm-hmm. some 7 years, I believe, after 9/11. Until you've been there and you see what happened and you've talked to people, I don't think you have quite an appreciation for it. And I think, obviously, what he was doing was so cool as far as thanking people and just people thanking him as well. As it's just part of that healing process. But I think sometimes us as Midlanders or Midwesterners don't quite understand it until you get to these urban areas and you get to these cities and you see the spots where it all happened and you see the historical monuments of it. It's just such a profound experience for so many different people. I mean, their city was under attack, and that's how they felt it. And I mean, I think what people forget is that they did go into martial law for about, you know, 7 days afterwards. They were on lockdown. You couldn't, you know, and even the mayor was like, "What are we going to do? We can't." And so it was just, it's, I think it's just a part of American history that you don't have a true respect for. You respect it, but until you get to be there, see it, touch it, talk to people about it, I think you're left with still that not quite understanding just how impactful it was.
And I know, tragedies are tragedies, and I guess the only thing that I can even think of, and I know it's not sports related, but and this is way back when the tornadoes came through Grand Island. I mean, it was a tragedy that was unexpected, and bang, there it is, and you have to pull yourself up and get after it. And I guess close to home, I'm sure there were other things that I could compare or forget that to. But when you get a national scene. And that's, again, that's another thing, you know, by being able to watch it on internet, TV, radio, everybody felt a little bit closer to what was going on there, especially with all the sports teams and adding to that as well. So thanks to Tom for joining us here today. Coming up, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. But, folks, it's that time of the year. The weather's getting nice and the grass getting greener. If you have not taken the time to stop into Johnson Lawn's new nursery, then you need to get there today and get all the plants, trees, and flowers you need to make your garden and landscaping project a breeze. They're open inside Johnson Lawn and Landscape Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 9 to 4. If your garden and landscape are not becoming, then you need to, if you're not becoming to you and your neighbors, then you need to be coming to Johnson Lawn Landscape and Nursery. We'll be back with more after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel,
tell them the herd sent you.
Hi, you've reached Zach Fromson. I can't get to the phone, but good news. Our Sprint family plan has an open spot, and Mom said I get to invite the newest member. You don't have to move in with us if you join, and you can get separate bills. So if you want to save a bunch of money, just answer these questions. How do you talk to girls? Do you go Dutch on a first date? Actually, these don't really matter because just about anyone can join a Sprint family plan. But could you do me a solid...
Starting a Sprint family plan is easy, and the more people your family adds, the more you save. For a limited time, get the revolutionary new Samsung Galaxy S5 for zero down and a free Tab 3 when you join a family plan. With better call quality, fewer drop calls, and faster speeds on America's newest network, there's never been a better time to switch. Happy connecting from Sprint.
Offer ends 7/10/14. Maximum plan savings of $30 per line. While supplies last, taxes and surcharges excluded. Zero down plus $27.09 a month for 24 months for well-qualified buyers. Total price $649.99 with 0% APR. If you cancel service, remaining balance on phone becomes due. Tab requires 2-year agreement and data plan. Restrictions apply. See store. Sprint.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Or you can call it Hastings Keno. You can call it plain Keno. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Keno parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. At the top of the show, we were talking about 11 a.m. games, 8 p.m. games, night games, basically. Although 6 and 7 different to me than 8 and 9:30, where it's an effort to stay up and watch the game for some people. So we were saying, would you rather have an 11 a.m. home game, or would you rather have an 8 o'clock, because the Illinois game announced today will be an 8 o'clock kickoff. Doug and Carney says, night games are so much better than 11 a.m. games. If they start at 5, 6, 7, or 8, college campuses rock with the later start times. TV ratings will be higher for these type of games, even if it is against a lower-ranked or division team. Most fans will enjoy the experience with later starts due to the fact they stay in Lincoln Saturday night anyway. Most local entertainment destinations will gear up for the late afternoon dinner and bar crowd, not to mention the Haymarket, but every town in Nebraska will have special evenings to watch the game wherever they choose. It's all about the money, Doug says. And high school and college football was made to be played on Friday and Saturday nights. Yes, the NFL plays on Sunday, but if you look at the schedule, they're also moving to evening games Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Thanks, Doug. He's right on all those points. There's no doubt about it. He's right on all those points, and that's why I'm saying I like the night games. And again, not even mentioning the recruiting there, like Dan Hoppen said. I mean, you don't have any problem. You got an 8 o'clock game, you don't have any problem getting your recruits into the game. And I think the players and the coaches, not all the coaches, but they like playing early, I think, Damon. It's just that they know there's too many other variables that make playing late better for everybody else. Kids always say, let's just get up and go play the game. Plus, that gives them their Saturday night. They are college kids.
You know, I think that there's probably pluses and negatives and minuses to everything. I just think that 11 a.m., especially in the state of Nebraska where so many people come into the game, but from a distance, I think that the 8 p.m. games just do a better job. I think it just makes the life easier for Nebraska. I mean, obviously, when you have fan bases, I mean, you can get in from Ohio State pretty much 2.5 hours from everywhere in the state of Ohio, roughly, or some of the bigger schools. I think this helps the Nebraska fans get to the game. From a recruit, I mean, there's all those great things about recruiting and everything. Let's face it. There's something about under the lights. It's had hyped all day long. Obviously, everyone else is hyped all day long as well. So I know that I personally enjoy the Husker night games because you can get your normal Saturday stuff done, get home, throw on some pork chops, some grilling, and watch the game. So from my standpoint, I enjoy the night games.
Carrie and Troutman's very happy that you're giving them a plug today as well. Let's do it. Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, we're going to give away a $25 gift card, whether it's a meat and cheese tray for snacking, whether you need to get set up for graduations, whether you need to just continue to grill out with the best steaks and USDA choice ground beef. They've got it there for you. $25. Use it for whatever you want at Troutman's. Call now, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Got some good questions here today I think we can have some fun with. 888-455-3776. If you would like to be part of Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, give us a buzz. And let's get to the phone lines here. Who are we chatting with?
Anthony,
all right, here we go. Let's see. Do you want basketball, football, or baseball? I'm going to be nice for the first couple people. Basketball, football, or baseball?
Either one besides basketball.
Okay, football or baseball. All right, here we go. The Detroit Red Wings are making, and I know that's hockey, but this leads into the question. The Detroit Red Wings are currently in their 23rd straight NHL playoffs. That's the highest active streak in the NHL. Who has the longest active streak of making the playoffs in the National Football League?
Let's go Patriots.
You know, when I asked him that, I knew it was too easy. What the hell was I doing? I glad. I just gave him the easiest question on the board. Because I'm going, well, even if it was, see, it needed to not be the Patriots. The Patriots are actually tied, so we're going to save some of these. You win. We're going to save some of these and use them next week because there's too many good ones here. But they're actually tied. Do you know, if it was another team, I'll say you got to get them both. The Patriots and who have made it five straight years?
I'm not to say.
And take the NFC.
Straight?
Take the NFC.
It's going to be the Niners, probably.
No, Packers. It's the Packers. It's the Packers. But it doesn't matter. You're already the winner, Anthony, so hang on the line, and
right.
Jeff will get you set up. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Oh, man. But that way we're done, I guess. That way we're done.
That way we are done.
And we're going to save these. Jeffrey always throws, well, he doesn't always throw them away. We never recycle them. There's some good ones here that we'll use next week, so we'll save those. Anything else, sir?
Nothing. Come out.
You've got senior day. You had the military and appreciation a couple of weeks ago.
Senior day Saturday at 1 p.m. We'll do it after the game. We'll do it after the game.
How many we got this year?
Seven. Six pitchers and a position player.
Because that's the only healthy senior?
No.
Or?
Six pitchers and one position player.
I'm not going to ask you to name them all. I'm just going to say
no.
Best of luck to these seniors.
They're a special group.
Who gets the start Thursday?
Alex Sosa.
No problem?
None.
Complete game, seven inning, four hitter.
It's nine inning game.
Oh, you got to go nine?
Yeah.
All singles are nine?
Yep.
You should play a double header.
No.
No, you don't.
I hate doubleheaders.
Well, don't forget, that's what's coming up, and the Lopers have moved baseball up because of some impending bad weather on Sunday. So they'll play a single game, 6 o'clock Thursday night, the doubleheader starting Friday at 3, and then Saturday, senior day at 1 o'clock. I want to thank Damon Day for coming in studio today. Tom Osterbuehr running the Boston Marathon out of Grand Island. Dan Hoppen from Husker Online. Tomorrow, we expect to be joined by Nebraska baseball coach Darren Erstad, UNK softball coach Holly Carnes. They're also wrapping up the regular season this weekend, and that is all coming up tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Have a good one.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.